Today's scripture is found in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading.
We have the assurance of eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ, and that one day soon we will be with him. We'll be spending every Sabbath with him, with the garden back here on this earth, and we'll be meeting Sabbaths in the garden with Jesus face to face. So we just pray that each one of us has that confidence that one day soon we will be with our Savior. Let us have prayer. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, as we have come together to worship thee on this holy Sabbath day, we know that your presence is here and that we are in your presence and that the Holy Spirit is here, that our guardian angels are here with us, compassed about us. And we just pray for guidance and direction today. And please be with me as I bring the word today, Father. And we just pray that we are truly yours forever and ever. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Yes, God's will. Do we know what God's will is and what God's will is for each one of us? And what does it have to do with prayer? And that's the purpose of prayer, is to get God's will done. He's a stranger here in his own world to so many people. And his God, and himself and his son is so much slandered, especially in today's society, as we know that taking God out of everything. And son can't use the word God here. The son can't have prayer in our schools or public places and all these things. So there, even in China, they're coming against the people there trying to have a worship service out in the open. We know that it's going to happen here soon also. So we just know that God came to his own. And they kept him standing outside the door like a shepherd with a staff in his hand and with them peeking through the crack in the door. You know, many of us shrink back at making a full surrender to God. We find all kinds of reasons for it, you know. But I believe the real reason is that we're afraid of God. We fear him, that he's going to put something in the cup, or he's going to put something, a roadblock in our road, and that we know that we can't overcome or something like that. But we know that if we are afraid of God, it's because we don't really know God. And the great purpose of Jesus' prayer that night with the 11 was that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou didst send. And to understand God's will, we must understand something about God himself. And there's many words that we can use. Today we have to use a human language, just like as we look at the book. It's in human language, but inspired by the Holy Spirit. So God uses human language to get us to know who he and what he is all about and what his will is. So, but I'm going to use four words today. They're common everyday words. It's used every day. And the first one is Father. And Father stands for strength, loving strength. A father plans and provides for his family, and he protects his loved ones. And if you think of the finest father you ever knew, I'd like you to do that now. And just to remember, though, that this God is Father. Only he's so much a finer father than the finest father we have ever known. But do you know the will that God has for you? And let's not think about heaven or about our own souls, but about his will for us in this life down here on this earth. And his will is for the one that is dearly loved, and each one of us is loved by God. We have that assurance. that, so we have Father. The second word is even a finer word, because woman is finer than a man and was made and meant to be. But we know that this word is finer than Father, and that word is Mother. A couple of weeks from now, it's going to be Mother's Day, so we'll be able to remember our mothers and for the ones that are alive and for the ones that have passed. But have that. But Mother. You know, Mother, Father stands for strength, but a Mother stands for love. Great, patient, tender, fine fiber, enduring love. And what a mother wouldn't do for her loved one. You know, and God is that same way. What he wouldn't do for each of us. And we know that he did the greatest thing that he could by giving his only begotten son to die in our stead. But think of the finest mother you ever knew. The suggestion should bring hallowed things to your mind about our mothers. But God is a finer mother than that we've ever known. And there are numerous references in the Bible about God as a mother. One of them is under his wing. And we know that a chick takes and puts her brood under the wing for heat and for protection. We know that the word mother is not used in the Bible for God. But maybe that's because with God, and this is my opinion, that Father includes Mother. With God, all the strength of the Father and all the finer love of a mother together is in that word, Mother. And a mother's will for her loving, you know, for the darling of her heart to love so much that God was able to send his son here to die for us. You know, the third word is friend, but not in a cheap meaning. We call people friend if they're not our enemies. But it is a finer meaning than that. A friend is one who loves you for your sake only, and one who loves without regard to any return. And the English have a saying that you fill a church with your acquaintances, but not fill the pulpit with your friends. And that does happen many times. But how many true friends do you know? If we have one or two friends in our life, we're very wealthy. But think about the best friend you ever had, and we know that God is even a better friend than that. He's ever so much a better friend than the friend that you have ever known. And the plans that he has for each one of us, for your life and for mine, is such a one as this word suggests. And then the fourth word is husband. The word on the man's side for the most hallowed relationship on earth. Husband and wife, or we can look at Christ and his church. Two lives are joined, begin living as one. Two wills, but one. Two persons, but yet one purpose. That is our God that we serve every day. But if we look and call it a moment, the best father you've ever known, or any father any woman has ever known, then you know that God is a husband, but only he's more, infinitely more thoughtful husband than any other man you ever knew. And his will for life is a husband's will for his life's friend and companion, and that's you and I. Each one of us is God's friend in the companionship. And so we just pray that we will be able to keep that friendship, keep that love alive. We know that the Holy Spirit is guiding each one of us if we've given our hearts over to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just pray that we will continue to love God as we do each day. You know, you don't want to take all these four words, you know, separately. You have to put them together to get a real true meaning of God. But he's all that and more. You take a number of earth's relationships and you have to put them together to get a real good picture of life, and especially the relationship that we have with God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to have the beautiful picture that we can have as his children, you know. But he is a father, a mother, a friend, a husband. And God's plan for each of us is a plan of such a God as that. It includes body, health and strength, the family and home matters, money and business matters, friendships, including the choice of life's chief friend, the Lord Jesus Christ. It includes service and constant guidance. It includes the whole life. We can't leave nothing out. And all this he has thought into lovingly and caringly. To think of a child's needs into the details, all the necessities, and all the loving extras are put in. That is a God that we serve. We pray that we are serving him faithfully. The one purpose of prayer, the whole thought in prayer is to get the will of God like that done in our lives and upon this earth. To do God's will. Are we willing to do God's will? The greatest prayer anyone can offer is, "Thy will be done." And I pray that that is our prayer today. It's offered in 1,000 different forms, in 1,000 different details. But all the needs that we need for daily living with Jesus as our Savior, you know. And every true prayer comes under these four words. And so we need to be able to keep it, "Thy will be done." You know? Man has charged God with many things, with all the misfortunes and the ills, and we know that he's not responsible for them. But God is able, under any circumstances, to what can be done for best results, especially for us, for each one of us. With infinite patience and skill and diplomacy and success, he is ever working for each one of us so that we may have in our human life, but he has to work through the human will. And that is our chance to take our will and turn it over to him and allow his will to be the dominating factor in each one of our lives. But we don't forget that God has a first and second will for each of us. He has a first will and a second will. He always prefers that first will because it is the best for us. But you know that we don't have that ability sometimes to do that and worry about it. So God has to have a second one. But when we are not being able to be taken up to the height that we need to be, God comes down to the highest height that we attain to, and that he'll work with us there. God comes down our way, we go up, and we meet there together, and that he'll work with us. In the same way, God's first choice was for Israel was not to have a human king like the rest of the nations around them. But because they rebelled and they wanted a king, he was able to give them. He wanted to be their king, and they were to be particular about that. And it's the same with us today. God wants to be our king. He wants to be our God, and we are particular about that. But we know that through Samuel's sorrow that he had, and yet more God's sorrow, they insisted on a king. Saul first, and then David. David, the great shepherd, psalmist king, was a man after God's own heart. And I pray that we are also people after God's own heart, as brothers and sisters in Christ, as we follow the dictates of the Bible, the Word of God, and we allow the Holy Spirit to control us. But God always aims highest for us, and with keen pain in his own heart, he allows weakness and suffering to happen to us because of the conditions of our wills of trying to reach the highest thing that we can. But we can only do it through that Jesus Christ. And then as the human will comes in contact with his will, we can reach the highest point that God wants for each one of us. There are two things at hand that modifies God's first will for us. First, the degree of our intelligent willingness that we allow God to have full sway. And God wants full sway in each one of our lives. And know that we're stubborn people and we got to throw blocks in there and stop that sway. But if we truly have the faith in Jesus, we read his word daily, have prayer, constant prayer with him, he'll give us the ability to be able to allow full sway in our lives. And the second, the circumstances of one's life. Each one of us has different circumstances. You know. But our experience with God and his dealings with us under any varying circumstance are part of his message. He has to work with us the best he can because of our human will. But he's trying to win all of us. God wants nobody to perish. Not any of us here or any out there in the world. But we know that the reality that will not go that way, God's way. We must be perfectly willing to be able to do God's will. And more, we need to trust him because he knows what's best for us in any of our circumstances. And in prayer, we need to quietly take all to God to learn that is what is will for us under any circumstances and only in the circle of the people whom he touches through us. And that does. That's how he touches other people is through us. We need to help be doing the work. Just one or two people cannot do it all. Brother Hammer cannot do it all. We have to be in connection with the Lord Jesus Christ and with Brother Hammer and work together to get the message out here in this community. But let's go to the Spirit's prayer room. Look at the remarkable passage in Paul's Roman letter about prayer and God's will. That's in Romans 8, verses 26 through 28. Romans 8, 26 through 28. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to him that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. These words connect back with the verses ending with verse 17. Verses 18 through 25 are a parenthesis in there. But the Spirit helps us in our praying. If you didn't know that, it does. The Spirit is there to help us with our praying. And it's our infirmities that we don't know how to pray as we ought. And these are some of the things I really want you to listen to. There's willingness and eagerness too. Also a lack of knowledge. We don't know how. And here's where the Spirit comes in. But the Spirit knows how. He is a master prayer. He knows God's will perfectly. He knows what's best to be praying under all circumstances. And he has written you and I into it. He is there as a prayer spirit. He prompts us to pray. He calls us away to the quiet room on our knees. He inclines to prayer wherever we are. He is thinking thoughts that we have no response to. Because we're not able to read his thoughts. For they are not in our thinking. So we need to allow him to do that in our human thinking for the Holy Spirit to be praying for us. The heart searcher, God listening above, knows fully well what he is praying about and what he is thinking within us and for us. That is the great truth, is that the Spirit within us prays God's will, not his own, not ours, but he prays God's will. He teaches us God's will. He teaches us how to pray God's will. He also seeks to pray God's will, that is, to pray for the thing that God has planned in each one of us before we even have yet reached up to that height where we know what it is ourselves. The Holy Spirit wants to be our medium of prayer. He wants to help us to be able to pray for God. But to know how, know God's will, we still need to know God's will. We need to study so that we can know God's will. You know, the more we know Him, the more He will be able to have our intelligence in His will and to do His will by studying and by praying. And I said before, God has a first and second will for us, but maybe we should say He has two parts to His will. There is the will of grace and His will of government. And His will is plainly called up in His word. And it is that we may be saved, each one of us. Nobody has to be lost. He wants to make us pure and holy. He wants to glorify us in our own presence. In His own presence. His will of government is His particular plan for my life. And that's the highest possible ambition for life, is to reach God's plan. And I pray that each one of us are working on God's plan that He has for us, not our own plan, even though we may think it's best. But for us, I know what I need and what I want. You know what you need and want. But it's still God's plan that we have to follow. We cannot follow our own plans, because we know that's where that's going to lead to. And He reveals to us bit by bit His will. And if it's a special service, He'll let us know that. We need to keep in touch with Him so that He has an open ear to talk into. I must but delight to do His will because it is His. And another one that needs emphasis is His word must be allowed to discipline my judgment as to Himself and His will. Many of us stumble on number one and number two in that, the touch and the delight, but many willing participants also stumble on number three. And it's because we lack discipline. We don't have the discipline that we need. We need to be praying to absorb the book so that we can have better judgment. And we need that better judgment to do what God wants us to do. And He reveals Himself in this book. And so I just pray that we are constantly having this book open. It's not sitting on a shelf. I know that many of us have more than one Bible. Whether you use them all or not, I pray that you do have one Bible that is open and in constant use. And if we would go to Psalms 25:9, that was a reading that I spoke in the announcement period. Psalms 25:9. The meek will He guide in judgment, and the meek will He teach His way. And that meek person is willing to yield his will to a higher will and will be guided in his judgment and in his mental processes that each one of us has. And also then, if you would turn to 1 John 5, that was our reading for today. 1 John 5. Verses 14 and 15. And this is the confidence we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. So once we get the footing, we know how to pray with boldness. That was mentioned this morning, boldness. We can do what God wants, and if what God wants, and we want it, joined together, the combination cannot be broken. Our gracious God, thank you that your word, your will may be our will, and that we follow your dictates, that we follow your word, Father, so that we can truly be your children for eternity, and that we will be Jesus very soon, to spend eternity ever learning the plan of redemption and continue to learn your will. We just pray, Father, for the guidance of the Holy Spirit to help us along the way. He is our comforter. He is here in the place of our Savior. And we pray that we will listen to him. In Jesus' precious name, amen.